Did you know we've moved?
Move it! I like to move it, move it.
Our new home at TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, bringing you new content like Fight Show Live and the Spanish Announce Table, and the same shows that you come to enjoy like Old School at the Movies, Pending Mobile Technology, and The Real News. Make sure you check us out every week, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah, Jamie!
Stop all the downloading!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, the Jean-Claude Van Damme retrospective. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like The Spanish Announce Table, The Real News, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to our great panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with me directly, don't be shy. oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com. You can tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmovies.net. So let's introduce our panel for this week. We've got Keb Botrek.
Howdy.
We've got Will.
Thanks for having me.
We've got Carp.
What up?
We've got Douchebag Ren.
Jerk.
And we've got C-Money.
On you.
Awesome. I'm very excited to do this retrospective. We've done one on Arnold. We've done one on Stallone. Done 80s movies, we've done pretty much everything, except for this guy, Jean-Claude Van Damme, one of my favorite action stars of the 80s. And we're going to just start with the panel, get your general thoughts on Van Damme, the nostalgia, his acting ability, his fighting ability, what you love, what you don't like about him. Let's start with Carp. Let's get your opening thoughts on Van Damme.
Oh, I'm the same. I always liked Van Damme as a kid, with Bloodsport, Kickboxer, Universal Soldier. The atrocity that was Street Fighter when I was a teenager was okay at the time. And I've never had really any major complaints about him. He has shown his ass too many times for my own choice, but...
Way too many times.
And it's like, when he does the splits, it feels uncomfortable to me. Because if I were to try and do that, I would probably tear everything below my waist.
Everything that still works,
everything
right?
that would still work at that point, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So. D-Ren, let's get your opening thoughts on Van Damme.
Yeah, I mean... Saul was one of my favorites from the 80s and early 90s, and I just love that he was kind of the athletic alternative to, you know, Stallone or Schwarzenegger, who are the big muscly guys. So he had karate background. So
he was still jacked, though.
He's more like a lean muscle, but yeah, he's fought kickboxing fights and stuff like that. So I just love that it's a different kind of version of the action hero of the 80s.
Yeah, Keb Botrek, opening thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty much like Stallone and Schwarzenegger. He's like in the big three of the quintessential 80s, early 90s action star. Maybe not as famous as the other two, but when you think of those kind of movies, his is one of the names that you think of.
Will, let's get your opening thoughts.
I really like how his movies are the most consistent of all the different action stars. Like, for example, even though I like Arnold a lot, if you tell me name the top three films of Arnold, I can't really name that much more than that. The rest are always a bit too eclectic, or they go into sci-fi. With Van Damme, it's much more straightforward than any of the other people, maybe Steven Seagal by exception. And I like how he brings the French to Hollywood. It's fun too.
Yeah, and you know, he had his format of movies, and he did it very well.
Yeah, exactly.
C-Money, let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up being a huge fan of Van Damme. He was one of the top three, like you guys keep mentioning, of the incoherables, as I like to call them. Probably the one of the three that can actually make the most sense.
Yeah.
With his suave French accent that essentially, you know, he was the highlight back then because he was one of the few white people who actually did martial arts that stood out. So big fan, had a lot of his movies growing up.
It's interesting you had mentioned that French accent, because unlike Arnold, it seems to me, and we're going to, as we progress through the movies, you're going to see that they actually try to justify that accent in a lot of the movies, you know, whether, you know, Double Impact.
That's the best one, by the way, because they have to do it twice. Yeah. They have to do it twice.
That's the thing, so. Yeah. You know, Bloodsport, Lionheart, like, they always justified the accent.
Yeah.
I'm just curious why you guys might think that, you know, with Arnold, they said, you know, fuck it, we're just going to pretend he's not German. But in this case, Van Damme,
Austrian,
instead of, like, kind
way,
of...
He's Austrian.
Right. Instead of no-selling the accent, they had to maybe, you know, justify. Why do you think they went to great lengths to do that?
I think because of Van Damme, it's too ethnic. With Arnold, it's more of like when he's a robot.
That's not ethnic?
No, it's not ethnic. It's just like some... Because you can't pin it down, but for Van Damme, you can tell this guy has a French accent.
But Arnold, though, he sounds American to you?
No, but he sounds maybe foreign, but he doesn't sound like a particular place that you could pinpoint. In any case, with Van Damme, they always make him say that he's French when he's actually Belgian.
Yeah, because nobody knows what Belgium is.
No American knows Belgium, no.
Exactly. All right. We got a lot of movies to cover, so let's get straight into it. Our first one is one of my favorites, Bloodsport. Let's play the trailer and get your thoughts.
For centuries, the Society of the Black Dragon has sanctioned an ancient rite of combat known as the Kumite. Open only to the world's most lethal warriors. It has never been won by a Westerner.
You are not Japanese.
I can do it.
Now, for the first time, the true story of American super agent Frank Brooks can be revealed.
Uncle Sam can't afford to let you get hurt.
I'm going to Hong Kong.
Frank is going to fight in the Kumite, and we're here to stop him.
An awesome human weapon.
That hurts me just looking at it.
Infiltrates the Chinese underworld.
I did not come this far to stop Tom Baker.
To enter a forbidden competition.
Couldn't you just get me in?
Strict rules. No press.
You're telling me you never break rules?
Where every fighting style, every worthy opponent, every deadly technique. Flash in savage combat.
Time to separate the men from the boys.
And only one will triumph.
Now I will break you.
International martial arts sensation, Jean-Claude Van Damme. In Bloodsport. The true story of the ultimate champion.
Kumite. All right, let's get my thoughts.
It means the white warrior.
You know, my thoughts quickly on this movie. Definitely one of the roles he's most known for, even though it's probably his worst acting role. His Asian tour guide in it seems like an older version of Short Round from Indiana Jones. I don't know if you guys caught that. Again, you know, he gets this American, we're going to notice this in a lot of movies. He gets an American to kind of act with him to carry most of the dialogue. And I know they did that with the early Arnold movies as well.
Well, early Arnold, he just dubbed his voice.
Right. But I meant like, I guess when he had his actual speaking voice, they had more, you know, people alongside him to carry the dialogue. Also, why does the FBI have jurisdiction in China? That I don't get. Great fighting scenes in all the tournament matches, though. Except for his American buddy who has like zero fighting ability. Just takes a guy and throws him and stuff. And that's like his move. Chang Li is definitely a fantastic antagonist. It's just perfect choice as like kind of the lead bad guy. The thing I thought a little racist though was like the black fighter was doing like a monkey style. Like, yeah. What is that?
No, I think it was more like tribal. No?
I don't know. It came off as racist. You got the Van Damme classic overacting, you know, when his friend gets put in a coma or whatever. But yeah, classic fight scenes, got all his Van Damme moves, you know, the spinning kicks, the splits and everything. And during the final fight, I found it kind of weird that the ref, like, no-sold the salt to the eyes. It was, he clearly saw it, and he's like, fuck it, we're just going to let it go.
Straight into the WWE.
You know, but no, definitely one of my favorites from him. I give it an 8. Who wants to start on Bloodsport?
I will, I guess.
Go for it.
Just a couple quick points. Yeah, I like that they had a lot of different fighting styles in the movie. You know, we had the big American, just brute kind of force. We had the tribal African guy going on his hands and, you know, crawling around, stuff like that. So I like that we got a good mix. I like that we got to see a lot of fighting. It wasn't just like, oh, here's 30 seconds of fighting, you know, and then that's it. We got to see a lot of different matches, even if they were pretty short. So we got a good mix of matches. And I like that. It's always great to have a tournament movie. Like, you know, you go back to things like Karate Kid, stuff like that. I mean, even Mortal Kombat, it wasn't done well. But it's that tournament kind of format always works out because it brings in different styles. So I really like that. And probably the last thing I'll have to mention that, and it completely felt out of place in the movie, was the in the middle of the movie, the chase scene.
That did make sense.
It was just like almost like a Keystone Cops kind of, like, you have this very serious movie and then you're having this ridiculous chase scene all through Hong Kong. So it was like, what? We're like, it just felt like the tone just felt completely out of place with the rest of the movie. But other than that, it's a classic movie. It's great to see all the different fight scenes. And if I had to rate it on 10, I would give it 8.5 powder to the eyes on 10.
Yeah, D-Ren, let's get your thoughts on Bloodsport.
Yeah, like everyone mentioned, the tournament fighting style and all, seeing these diverse styles is pretty cool. I'll just try to mention, the French kid was like the worst actor, even worse than Van Damme from the...
yeah, he was.
I mean, like, did Van Damme say, I need someone who could act worse than me to be my kid so I look really good? I don't know.
They could have... you're telling me out of all the people who speak French or have an accent who can, like, fake the accent, that they can't get anybody to do that role?
Yeah. I don't know. And how did he not flinch with the sword going, like, on his head? I don't know. So other things, I found there was no point of having the woman in the movie. I mean, he bangs her, but there's really no point to the whole movie. There's Jackson, who plays, he was very stereotypical of the American, you know, loud, obnoxious, drinking beer. Besides that, I found that he did way too many splits in the movie.
He was just showing it off at one point. Yeah, it's like, too much.
During the fight, on the chairs, on like the statue thing, even when he was getting trained. And with regards to training, I love seeing him get his ass kicked by this teacher. Just a couple more things I like. I felt that the music, they had music in the movie to convey emotion instead of having Jean-Claude Van Damme kind of convey the emotion. So
I felt that too. Yeah.
Okay. And I guess one last thing I'll mention is I thought there was way too much silk in that movie. They were all, like, those silk pajamas they were wearing, and Jean-Claude Van Damme was wearing silk. And we also got to see Forrest Whitaker as the FBI agent. So I'm going to give this movie 8 overuse splits out of 10.
All right, well, let's throw this one to you. Let's get your thoughts on Bloodsport.
Well, everybody talked a lot about it. I would also give it like about an 8 or 8.5 out of 10. It's one of my favorites, actually. Like I said, the tournament style is fun, but I like how they go all out with it. It's not just like in a Rocky film, you wait for the fight to the end, then it's there, and you have like about a 10-minute fight scene. This film, was the majority of it is fights, and that's a lot of fun. It reminds me a lot of Enter the Dragon, which is funny because the... Tell me if I'm wrong, guys, but the main antagonist in this film is one of the fighters in Enter the Dragon, right?
The main antagonist is also in, we're going to be talking about it, but Double Impact as well.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah, he's in Double Impact, yes. Yeah. But he's also in Enter the Dragon, which is a Bruce Lee movie.
He's gotten around.
Yeah, he's gotten around. Yeah. So the movie was a lot of fun. I don't watch many 80s movies. I'm more of a 90s kind of guy. And this is definitely more 80s. And the soundtrack is like a... pure 80s. So
it's classic. Yeah. It's a classic. Well, it's very,
I guess. But it's a lot of fun. I really like how the movie, what it promises you, it gives you, except for the fact that the whole, he's going undercover. I didn't really feel that much. It wasn't really acted on upon much at all. The fact that he was a secret weapon for the U.S., that was never really there.
They didn't play on it much.
Not at all. It was more of like, that's competition. Oh, and there's like some guys after him. The end.
All right, Carb, let's get your thoughts, man.
This is... definitely in my top three Van Damme flicks. The guy you're speaking of is Bolo Young, and he's awesome in anything I've ever seen him in. So
yeah, he was jacked in this, too.
He's jacked in everything he does. He's got 107 credits, film credits to his name.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, like you guys said, Bloodsport and Double Impact is the antagonist. Just everything, the training montage, the tournament style was good, the terrible French kid. They're the stereotypical hot chick who sleeps her way into the competition or sleeps with Van Damme to get like more use out of him. For me, it's an 8 dim mock break brickers out of 10.
All right. C-Money, let's get your thoughts on Bloodsport.
Yeah, so I guess a lot of people have already said quite a bit of kind of what I was going to talk about. But the one thing I would kind of take a little bit extra out of this one is that I found out of a lot of the Van Damme movies, this was one of the ones that had probably the most hilarious one-liners, a lot of one-liners throughout the entire movie. I was looking up before some of the old quotes from the movie, that obviously the classic one where Chong Li is saying how, "No, you break my record, now I break you like I break your friend." Very good, but brick not hit back. You know, like very stereotypical Asian, you know,
yeah,
comeback, so to speak. And it was pretty funny the way that it was all set up. You know, a lot of little cheesy ones, even with Jackson. I think one of the ones that cracked me up the most in the movie is this guy comes up to Jackson and he's like, "Oh man, I heard you can die at the Kumite," or something like that. And Jack's like, "Only if you fuck up."
So yeah, yeah.
Really, really cheesy one-liners that they break out throughout the entire movie. So it kind of added to the overall, like you guys said, tournament style, and added fun to the entire movie.
All right. A lot of good blood sport talk there. Let's get into our next movie. This is probably one of my favorites, actually, from Van Damme. This is from 1990. This is Lionheart.
They think they can get away with murder.
This is gasoline.
But they didn't count on one thing.
Does he have any other relatives? Anyone else that could possibly help?
Who gave up your family when you joined the Legion?
I never give up my family.
He's trained to fight for his life. Now, he's fighting for revenge.
Just tell him Joshua was here with somebody I think she'd like to meet.
Sure you want to mess up that face, handsome?
They think it's a game.
Hey, I got 3-1 against Lionheart.
He's playing for keeps. But now, he's facing the ultimate challenge.
That's him. A born killer. Not some bum we picked off the street.
This dude's already bad. 8 bodies.
I'll beat the guy I have to.
The rules are simple.
There's no rules.
The stakes are high.
What I did tonight, I did for my family.
You win. You live.
Now what's it gonna be?
You lose. You die.
It's going to be simple.
Van Damme is... Lionheart.
All right, let's get my thoughts quickly on this. I haven't seen this movie in about 20 years, so I was really excited to see it. I actually picked out a young Ashley Johnson in this. Billy Blanks is also in this movie quickly as a Legionnaire. Although it's you know, it's got its early 90s cheese, it's definitely still an entertaining story about how he fights for his family. And the only thing I didn't like is that they went with the safe ending. But no, it was definitely a fun movie. A lot of classic fights. You know, you got the Scottish guy, the fight in the pool. Tilla was a great final heel or final bad guy. I like the hulking up near the end, how he was kind of fighting hurt too. Again, you know, he was paired with another guy who did most of the dialogue, his trainer, Joshua. That seems to happen a lot of his early movies. A great soundtrack too. I love the main theme. The only thing I didn't like were the sound effects. I thought they were a little over the top, but you know, and the cookie cutter characters. But definitely, if you think Van Damme 80s, it's this movie. So I would give it 8 roundhouses out of 10. Let's start with C-Money on this one.
Okay, let me tell you why this is by far the best Van Damme movie, and if you don't like it, you need to drink a tall glass of, let's come up with something new this time, gonorrhea, okay? We'll start with that one.
So, all right.
So essentially, this Van Damme movie, by far, I think, completely made his career. It was the one that kind of was their weak attempt, I have to be honest, about how they tried to make it more the heartfelt thing at the end. I agree with on that part, Keith, is that, you know, they did kind of have the safe ending. But the entire movie, it's not just the standard tournament style. It's fighting throughout the entire movie. He's being chased by the cops the whole time. So it kind of gets the first action into kind of like the street fighting versus actual, quote-unquote, street fighting within the movie, where you're the tournament style. And what I love about this movie so much, like you said, there's the iconic fight scenes in the pool and everything, but it's the overall, I guess you'd say, the passion behind some of his fights. It's the way that he really gets his ass kicked throughout the entire movie. There's not many fights except for one where he pretty much low blows the guy in 2 seconds and it's done. But every other movie, every other fight, he's basically getting his ass kicked. It doesn't show
he takes a beating,
Yeah, that's it. So it's a little more realistic. And especially the end brings out one of my favorite movie scenes, period, is when a guy like Attila is, you know, kicking your ass, you get up, and the guy gets pissed off because you just roundhoused him in the face. And then he points at you, and your rebuttal is to roundhouse kick his hand away. That is the ultimate fuck you I've ever seen in a movie.
Yeah.
And I'll end it with that.
That's a great way to end it. It's had a budget of $6 million, box office 25. And I'm sure, you know, throughout the years, it's made a bunch on DVDs and digital distribution. Let's throw this one to Carp. Let's get your thoughts on Lionheart.
Yeah, there's not much else that's changed. Like, I found this one, as including the last one, you have the two people going after Van Damme to try and make him return to something. Same feeling where...
You've got that revenge angle, too.
Yeah, yeah. The brother fucking burnt to a crisp. Leo! Leo! And he, you know, he hears it from South Africa. So, no. You know, the escapes his current predicament to go help out his family. I could have done without the cheese ball ending in it. The pool and the underground garage fight were freaking awesome when I was a kid. So, like, this using the car antenna to choke him out, I loved it. Not much else to say. It's same Van Damme kicking ass, except street fighting instead of an actual tournament this time.
Yeah. Will, let's do this to you. Let's get your thoughts on Lionheart.
Okay, I won't be here long, but sadly, I might have to drink that glass of gonorrhea. It's not my favorite Van Damme movie. I find it's a bit too...
See money, let's get that gonorrhea
it's
ready.
It's kind of stupid, guys. It, like, okay, I'll tell you the part. Like, I really hate his sister-in-law. I really, really hate that.
She's like...
No, but he goes in, and it's like, we don't want your stupid money. He leaves it there, like, no, fuck you, I don't want to get lost. He sees them... And I don't know if I imagined this, but are they, like, homeless in the street?
They're about to be. They're about to get evicted, I think.
No, but doesn't he see them? Or does he see someone else that's, like, homeless on the street and he thinks of
yeah,
them?
No, he saw some random homeless person who gave money.
Okay. Because I thought that was maybe... Okay, thank you. That's a bit better. Okay, anyways. Because, of course, she gives in. But that's freaking stupid. There's that. I also hate the other broad, the main girl.
But that's the thing, you hate her because she did a good job in a role.
No, but not just that, the whole thing with, like, she has to sleep with her, and then he chooses not to, and she's like, well, screw you, it's stupid. And it's the whole thing.
But that's her job, right? Like,
but there's the whole immigration.
If you hate her, then she's doing a good job.
Well, then good job to her. There's also the immigration issue, which I still don't get. At the end, yeah, it's a happy ending, but he's still a legal citizen.
No. Yeah, they're just like, you know what? Fuck it. What?
I was like, what's going on? Wait, but he's still
you're chasing
illegal.
The whole movie, the Jean Valjean ending.
He was a prisoner in a French Legionnaire camp. That's why. And he escaped when he got the letter about his brother fucking being
tortured. Like, why chase him the whole movie? Why chase him the whole movie and then just say, you know what? Yeah, fuck
it. No, but even then, he's still illegal in the States. Like, their happiness will not last long at all.
This is the 80s. It's not the really early 90s. You know, it's not the easy tech thing that it is now. I mean, there's more immigrants in the States now than there's ever been. So
what happens, actually, they wrote a bit of an addition to it. What happens is he actually becomes a movie star.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just total.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I don't care. You know what? Apparently, Stallone said it in Rocky IV. Dolph Lundgren, who will come up later, shoots himself at the end. We don't see it. But he once said that this was going to happen to at the end of everybody else. Mr. T becomes a preacher in the future. The guy from the fifth one becomes like a pro wrestler. And Dolph Lundgren goes to a shack in Russia, drinks some vodka, and shoots himself because he failed his country.
Okay.
Anyway, no, just that's why I'll believe you if someone says random shit happens. So yeah, it's not my favorite one. And I found the black guy way too stereotypical. Maybe that makes me racist. I don't know. I found that kind of thing racist. Oh, another thing I found very funny when I was watching it, it reminded me of that list of the top things for a chick flick. Like, what makes a chick flick? And there was, like, always having a sassy best friend. Van Damme seems to have a sassy best friend in all of his films. And this one was the most apparent.
Yeah, who carries the dialogue.
Yeah.
D-Ren, let's throw this to you.
Okay, I found that, like everyone mentioned as well, the pit fighting aspect was pretty cool. Instead of having the tournament-style fighting... I felt that the story had more personal weight to it. There was more at stake than his previous films. I thought the acting got a tad better.
Really? I thought it was one of his worst acted roles.
Well, I mean, I thought it was better than Kickboxer and Bloodsport.
I'd have to disagree with you on that.
Well, that's fair. And in fact, he wasn't a prisoner in the Legion. He was actually a Legionnaire. And I just thought they were complete dicks, you know? It's like, you know, my brother's like dying and I can't go see him, you know?
And the head of the Legion's German, apparently.
Yeah. I don't know. I love that the woman, the circuit lady, she was like 90s hot, I guess. But she went psycho on Van Damme in the penthouse scene where he's like, I think I'm going to go live like somewhere else or train somewhere else. And she just went off on him. So I thought that was really funny. Not too much more to say. I mean, it's inspirational. I felt like it had a lot of heart. It kind of was his Rocky movie out of all his films. Just two more points I'm going to mention. Again, they did this kind of like smooth jazz during the emotional scenes, like when he's walking down the street and everything. So I found they still transplanted that from...
I kind of like that, though. I thought it was appropriate.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like they use it to substitute his acting ability, so...
Well, I think they did a good job in like kind of hiding it.
Yeah, well, I mean, but you can see why what they were trying to do. And I'll just mention the final fight scene with Attila. I love that he had a white Persian cat with him, and he brought that to the, you know, the fight. And it was crazy how Van Damme took such a beating in that final fight and was just standing. And they did the traditional, you know, when there's the fighting fighting part in the movie where they did the slow clap to pump the people up.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to give this movie, it is my favorite Van Damme movies. I'm going to give this 9.5 smooth jazz soundtracks out of 10.
All right, Kebo Trek, let's get your thoughts on this.
Yeah, just a couple quick notes because the rest of the people mentioned a lot of this stuff. Actually, I like the story concept about rich people staging fights and betting on them. Like, I don't know, something about that. I think it's just a great idea. It's a good story model to go from. Like C Money mentioned, I like that Van Damme took a beating every fight. It wasn't just like, you know, he's kicking everyone's ass and then at the end, the last fight, you know, he gets a beating. Like, he was getting a beating from the beginning. The Scotsman gave him a pretty big beating. So I really like that. I loved all the locations, like the pool, the ring of cars, the squash court. I don't know. I just think that's such a...
Yeah, it was fun.
Such a rich person idea to do. We're going to switch the location every time. And, you know, we're going to have one at a squash court. Things like that. So, you know, just it's a great idea. It's the second movie in a row, counting Kickboxer, where he's a deserter in, like, the military. And, yeah. And it doesn't seem like there's any consequences to him doing it. So that was kind of weird. Second last thing I'll mention is the kid was so annoying. Like, she was.
Yeah,
just from the first moment, I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, it wasn't as annoying as the sister-in-law.
But yeah, I guess, yeah, she was, yeah, agreed. And the last thing I'll mention is, I don't know if you noticed the stereotypical black guy eating Kentucky Fried Chicken. It was like, what is this even in there? It's like,
I noticed that. I totally noticed that. It's
totally unnecessary.
Like, come on. But I mean, overall, just a great movie. And I love the fighting in all the different locations. That's part of the big thing. What made the movie for me is just like, how often do you see guys fighting in a squash court? Earn an abandoned pool, like things like that.
Yeah, so what would you give it?
I'm going to give it 9 squash court beatdowns on 10.
I figured you were going to throw a squash court reference in your rating. All right, let's get into another great movie of his, Kickboxer. Starring as Kurt Sloan, who is a corner man for his brother Eric, American kickboxing champion who travels to Bangkok to challenge Tong Po, Thailand's undefeated champion. After a brutal first round, Kurt realizes that they are outmatched by Tong Po and tries to convince his brother to stop the fight. Unwilling to give up, Eric returns for the second round and continues to take a vicious beating, finally prompting Kurt to throw in the towel. Tong Po ignores that and continues his assault, which ultimately leaves Eric paralyzed from the waist down. The rest of the movie is pretty much him avenging his brother, being trained for Muay Thai, and kicking Tong Po's ass. Let's get my thoughts quickly on this movie. So, yeah, the opening fight scene with the brother, I don't know why, but each round lasted like 8 seconds, which I thought was, you know, kind of weird. Going to Bangkok, Van Damme is taking photos of young boys naked jumping in the river, which was kind of weird. The Bangkok stadium looks like a bingo hall. Also, the first scene, the main villain is absolutely epic. His first sighting of Tong Po when he's kind of training, he's like punching a support beam instead of a punching bag, which was like, okay, this guy means business. Van Damme's overacting with his brother getting crippled, which was great. You know, he's got like the con screaming out like Kirk did there during Star Trek II. We had some Mazda product placement as well, I don't know if you noticed. The American promoter also is telling Van Damme that he's not good enough to fight him, even though he's never seen him fight, which was kind of weird. I was a big fan of the Muay Thai training. The older guy was doing, he was very kind of quirky, very Mr. Miyagi-ish, you know, reminded me of a bit of Karate Kid. One quote I really like from the movie, revenge is a dangerous motive, but then Van Damme says, but it's a powerful one. I thought that was really resonated with me. I love the training montages, the kind of the stretching. The only thing that was weird was the drunken dancing scene. I didn't see how that was really necessary. A decent dancer, but it didn't really fit with the movie, I thought. Definitely the first fighting scene when he comes in after his training doing like the kick for kick to like the side, that was really cool. That's when the White Warrior chant started. Really, really strong story with like the girlfriend getting raped, they stabbed the dog. It's like massive heel tactics, man. It was really, for an 80s movie, it was like, wow, man, they went to the extreme. I love the hulking up at the end, the face wash kicks, the double kick to the villain and the promoter. Like, the kicks were just pure Van Damme-ish. And in terms of fighting, it's probably one of my favorites. I'll give it 8 face wash kicks out of 10. Let's start with Kebo Trek on this.
Yeah, you hit some of the points that I was going to discuss. I really love the opening scene with Tong Po. Out of probably all the Van Damme movies, or at least the ones I watched the last few days, like, I thought they did the best job of showing a badass protagonist. Like, when he was just kicking that beam and you see, like, the dust falling, and, I mean, what better way can you introduce a bad guy? So it's like
this guy fucking means business, do not fuck
him. Yeah, and it's like, wow, that's so badass. And, that kind of goes into the next point, is the one thing I remembered from this movie from when I saw it back in the day was the tree scene where he's kicking the tree. So I like that they had that little parallel, and it's just awesome to see, like, even though he's in such pain, he's like, I'm going to do this. And when he finally does it, it's not like, okay, everything's okay. It just, he kind of like crumples to the ground. And so I really like that they put that in as a good parallel. The last scene at the end, well, the fighting with when they laced their hands with glass, I just think it's, even just the visuals of that, it's like, this is awesome. So I really like that. But one thing I didn't like with that last fight scene is they made Tong Po as this really awesome bad guy, but then they're kind of having like the promoter be like, they kidnapped the brother and
they stabbed the dog. Yeah. They raped the girlfriend.
Yeah, but they're just kind of like, okay, you know, you're going to make sure he wins. So I just thought that was unnecessary because he was already badass enough. Like, why do you have to put this thing where, okay, we're going to have something where Van Damme's character can't fight to his full potential? So that was probably the one thing I wasn't crazy about. But you mentioned the rape, and like, I was surprised when that happened in an 80s action movie.
Yeah, like, it was like, for its time, yeah, it was crazy.
It was like, whoa, it's like, okay, this is pretty serious. So overall, it's just another great Van Damme movie. I love the location of the final fight where they moved it from a ring to that kind of underground thing with the glass. And I don't know, fighting with glass in your hands is pretty damn epic. So overall, just a really fun movie to watch. And my rating would be 8.5 elbows to the back.
All right, D-Ren, let's get your thoughts, man.
Okay, first off, like Kev Bocek said, I thought it was weird that they would, you know, like, build this guy up, Tong Po, and then they would have to try to resort to doing these cheating tactics to try to make him lose the fight. But yeah, it's a great movie. I think Tong Po, I have it in my notes that he's like the most, just his physical look and his presence and the way he's, you know, such a brutal fighter. I thought he was the most savage villain out of all the Van Damme movies that I watched. Like you said, I thought the dance scene was ridiculous. I mean, I just started
laughing.
It's
totally unnecessary.
The training scene's really well done, and I just remember when I was younger, the tree kicking scene with his shins, so I thought that was pretty epic. The final fight with the glue in the glass, that image is always in my mind. I just remember that being such a great fight scene. Just a couple other things. I kind of laughed when Jean-Claude Van Damme cried. It was really a fit of bad acting, but he's there for the action scene.
Yeah, he did the best.
I thought it was really funny and ridiculous how they dumped his brother in the street after Tong Po crippled him.
Yeah.
And just a couple other things. I felt the romance was kind of non-existent. They tried to do something, but it was kind of weak. And I just thought that the whole rape thing was unnecessary because, like, she didn't tell
them. You're telling me the dog stabbing was?
Well, they were trying to make him lose the fight. But, like, the whole thing with the rape scene was just, like, she didn't tell him until he was partway through the fight. And I don't even think that really motivated him. I think it would have been a better way to do it if she told him in the beginning and he would kind of have that anger. But anyway, overall, a great movie. I'm going to give this – let's give this 8.5 – I don't have a clue. 8.5
out
of 10.
Dog stabbings out of 10.
Dog stabbings out of 10, okay.
All right, let's throw this to Will. Let's get your thoughts on Kickboxer.
I think it's my favorite Van Damme movie. Even though I really dislike the rape scene, just because it's pointless. It happens at the end, and to the point where I thought, oh, he's going to like maybe beat her up or something. It's like, nope, rape. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
what?
They just went to the complete extreme.
What the hell is this? And yeah, it makes no sense that they would do all these tactics, because the way that betting works, the way to make real money is to bet for Van Damme and have Tong Po lose, because the odds are more in Tong Po's favor. So you don't actually make much money if you vote for Tong Po and you win with Tong Po. So it didn't make much sense. But in any case, it doesn't matter. This was, to me, the most, I guess, fun. No, not fun, but the thing is that it's you've got the whole Miyagi character, which I liked a lot. It's like the Karate Kid with Van Damme. And I found it very enjoyable. Yeah, and you also have... It has the greatest build-up for the final fight. And I think it is Van Damme's most iconic fight, especially when you have the glass and the glue. So I very much enjoyed that. Is this the one where they go to an Asian strip bar and there's a bunch of Asian titties? Or is that in the one we mentioned before?
I believe it was this one.
Okay, so this is definitely my favorite one then. Oh, not about the shibars, more about Jean-Claude Van Damme's acting, definitely. And then he also has, once again, a sassy black friend. I find that very
funny. What would you give it out of 10?
I would give it 8.5 glass punches to the face.
All right, Carp, let's throw this to you.
Yeah, there's not much to say. Everybody's more or less hit the points. Unfortunately, I haven't seen it in a while. I do remember that the iconic fist taping with the glue. And I remember it more so in Hot Shots Part 2 when he drops his hands in caramel and they're all Skittles, Skittles,
M&M's, Skittles. M&M's.
But yeah, everybody's pretty much hit the nail on the head with what's to be said about this movie.
Carp, for you, I got something for you. Did you know that Tong Po, even though it says at the end of the credits, Tong Po plays himself. He's actually played by a guy called Michel Kissi, who's a Moroccan guy, who went on to be a director, and he directed a movie called Terminator Women. It sounds like something you would find... Yeah, sounds like something you would really enjoy. Terminator Women.
I don't know if I'm going to be on the bargain bin or not this week, but
Bargain bin.
Got a good one coming up. So.
All right, C-Money, let's end with you, man. Let's get your thoughts on Kickboxer.
Yeah, I'm kind of like Carp on this one, where it's been quite a while since I've seen this one. I do remember really liking it as a kid, so I'd say it was probably one of the top three or four Van Damme movies that I can recall. The one thing that I did like about it was that kind of hardcore aspect, minus the, obviously, like you keep saying, the rape and the dog killing, but just how kind of like grimy and dirty it was, and how, like, if I recall, this was one of the first times in the earlier martial arts stages where they really brought in Muay Thai, which I thought was pretty cool, because back then, you know, as Americans or Canadians, we didn't really know too much about the Muay Thai fighting scene. And I thought this was really cool because they really focus in on that aspect of things. And it was more of an open stage for Van Damme to show a bit more of his repertoire and what he's capable of doing, which I thought was pretty cool. Give this movie probably a good 7.5 to 8 out of 10.
Budget of $1.5 million, worldwide gross of 40. So imagine a movie like this on a $1.5 million budget. That's crazy. We were getting into some great movies here, but he has made some steaming piles of crap. Let's get into one of those right now, and it's called Double Impact. Let's play the trailer. We'll start with C-Money when we get back.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. He always makes an impact. Now, get ready for Double Impact.
There's two of them. Think about it.
Van Damme times two.
He looks exactly like you.
Me?
Twin brothers reunited on a mission.
Watch my back.
To avenge their parents' death. One packs a punch. One packs a piece.
Good to me.
Together, they deliver Double Impact.
Excuse me.
From Hollywood to the Far East. On land. On sea. And in the air.
Service.
Damn cool. Damn hot.
So now what do we do? That's what I love about you.
Van Damme. Times two. Double the fun.
I would never in my life wear black silk underwear. I'm with you on that one.
And double the Van damage.
Oh, God.
Double impact.
That's awesome. The trailer actually, if you know, you hadn't seen it, you look at the trailer, it sells the movie pretty well. Let's get my thoughts quickly. You know, one of the heels in Double Impact, we had mentioned this, is the main villain in Bloodsport. It did just massive splits again all through this movie. Van Damme was definitely more comfortable in the front of the camera, I thought, even though, you know, the story was absolutely abysmal. Weak explanations also of why the brothers have the same accent. You know, one was in like a French orphanage.
That's amazing.
And the other one lived in France. Like, what? It's fucking stupid. The fight scenes with the Van Dammes don't really hold up, especially the one against each other. Very ambitious for the time, though, but definitely doesn't hold up. One brother said to another brother, this is probably my favorite line in the movie, "Tomorrow I will be sober, but you will always be a faggot."
Yeah, I love that line.
What?
Or a Winston Churchill line, right?
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's this lady telling him, "Hey, Mr. Churchill, you're a junk." He's like, "Yes, but tomorrow I will be sober, and you, madam, will still be ugly."
I thought he said, "You'll still be a faggot."
Yeah.
Kind of weird. Yeah, bad guys pretend to shoot the uncle in this movie. Like, why not kill him? There's no reason to not kill him. I don't get that. I did like the female butch antagonist in this. I thought she was pretty good. Also, near the end, the brother, after he escapes, he brings the female lead to chase after the bad guy, which is like, why would you put her in danger? There's just a lot of plot holes in that point. And, you know, there's no explanation also of how they can prove their lineage to get the property to avenge their father and mother's death.
They have a picture. Come on. They have a picture.
But, yeah, and the female lead, she even brings it up, and the uncle's like, "Yeah, just shut up." What? But yeah, you know, definitely one of my least favorites of his. I would give it 6 double. What did the movie say? Double Van Damme. What is it?
Van Damage.
Give it 6 double Van Damage out of 10. Let's start with C-Money on this.
Yeah, this one I actually... I got to be honest, I own this. It was a cheapy movie buy. But
what? You own this?
Well, I have a bunch of Van Damme movies. I also have like 25 Jackie Chan movies too. So there's a lot of crap out there. But this movie actually cracked me up often. I think the reason, to be honest, why it was made was strictly tied to him being the big heartthrob in Hollywood at the time, that they're basic way to cash in was saying, "Well, what's better than to have a Van Damme movie than to have a Van Damme movie where there's two of him and he plays both the kind of gentleman, suave-looking guy, and then the badass, muscle-like, you know, guy. And I think that's why this movie was originally made. It cracks me up throughout the entire movie at how much of an asshole one of the brothers is.
Yeah, the slick-haired guy.
Alex.
Yeah,
Alex.
I'm just going to call him slick-haired Dem or something like that. But he cracks me up throughout the entire movie, how pissed off he gets. The comment, like you just finished saying about the faggot thing. That was, I think you were right with that comment. And like, wow. I remember just bursting out laughing the first time I heard that. One of the scenes that really killed me too is when he starts getting really shit-faced and he starts thinking about how his brother is fucking the chick.
And he just tears the fucking house up. He goes
just
crazy.
Like roundhouse kicking chairs and friggin' like punching through walls. It's just like this retard strength thing that goes on in his head and he starts just going ape shit.
And for like 5 minutes, he's breaking shit.
That's what kills me. So, yeah, the movie is terribly acted. It's a tons of plot holes. Even the ending where he calls the guy's name, and then it's like this big, impactful moment where he puts his hand down and it looks like he releases the crane or whatever that's holding the box. It's just over the top. Like, there's no need for any of that. And like you said, bringing the chick along for as part of the final fight, so to speak, to kill the guy, she's getting shot at, for crying out loud. Like, what was the purpose of bringing her along? So, again, the movie cracked me up a lot. It's cheesy as all hell. Definitely not one of their best, but still one that made me laugh a lot, and I secretly enjoy a little bit. So I'd give it 6 or 7 headbutts out of 10 at most.
All right, Carp, let's throw this one to you.
Yeah, I can't say anything. I probably haven't seen this since, like, 93 or 94. And there's probably a reason why, because from what the trailer and from what you guys are saying, it wasn't all that spectacular for me to remember it that well. So, unfortunately, I can't really give it a rating because I don't remember it that well.
All right, well, let's throw this one to you, man. Let's get your thoughts.
Okay, this gets a 4 go fuck yourselves out of 10. You remember the scene? It's my favorite scene when I was a kid watching it. I watched it in French.
To the Asian boss. Yeah.
Fuck yourself. What? I said, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. I'll tell you a scene that I just found. I was like, where is this going? It's when Van Damme's, and they all think he's his brother Alex when he first walks in. And he goes like, hey, and she like starts like he's like,
grabbing
lower.
His cock and
stuff.
And
he's like, you got a surprise for me? He's like, oh yeah, big surprise.
Yeah, a lot of cheesy lines in this. It was good.
Another thing I find weird is the uncle going like, oh, so now you're of age. Now you have to go give revenge on your parents. He's like, but I don't really care. Oh, well, that's what you got to do. You and your brother have to now claim revenge. That's it. So it's like,
So what proof do we have in that? Shut up.
Yeah. Oh, there's a picture when you're like kids. Another thing I find really weird is like, usually in a movie where you got twins, there's a reason why they're twins. Like, there's a point to it. Like, probably they'll have to switch roles. Or one of them is, like, out of action, and the other one has to, you know, become that one to do as if everything's going well. That's usually how you deal with a twin movie. This one, there's no point, because about, like, a quarter way through, they're like, oh, look, there's two of them. Like, it could have been just Van Damme and any other actor. It didn't have to be two Van Dammes. There was no point for it to be two brothers. They don't use really... To their
I think C-Money said it best. Yeah, it was just like, they did it just to do it.
Yeah, but you could, and it's very apparent. Like, it's kind of sad because you can notice that right away. There's no point to it. That was that. Also, I find it, I always dislike it when the villains are just like a bunch of old guys. So like at the end, you don't get like that awesome fight scene. You never really get that. So I found it too bad. But I did like the butch chick. I'll give you that. You were right, old school.
Yeah. All right. Let's throw this to D-Ren. Double Impact. Go.
Double Impact. Unfortunately, I didn't see this, so I watched a couple of clips, and I can just tell you my opinion from that. I can't give it a rating. I saw the Bolo Young fight, and that was kind of disappointing. It lasted like a minute and 10 seconds, and it wasn't that great for like a Van Damme movie. I saw the part with the brother being drunk, and I couldn't believe he slapped his girlfriend. I was kind of shocked.
So unnecessary, that whole scene.
He decked her hard.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just like a little slap.
And it's not even like no proof of him cheating, you know, or her cheating on him. And it's just like he tears the fucking house up, beats the shit out of her.
Yeah.
Like, it's more of a heel than a good guy.
Yeah, and from the trailer, I thought the guy with the mustache was Gerald McRaney from Major Dad, but I don't think it was him. I don't know if anyone knows who that is.
I don't think it was.
Okay. And it kind of reminds me, like, the Twins movie type thing of Van Damme. It kind of reminds me of the Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan made an awful twin movie. I don't know if C-Money knows. Is it Twin Dragons? Is that it? Where he plays the violinist and the other one's a fighter?
Yeah, Twin Dragons, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was pretty awful. The only thing last thing I'll mention is Carp probably forgets this movie because he liked the blue spandex camel toe scene.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I had to get a dig in.
All right, Kebbo Trek, let's get your thoughts on Double Impact.
Definitely the worst out of the Van Damme movies I watched over the last couple of days. Yeah. If I will say one positive, for the time, I thought the special effects were well done.
It was definitely a risk-taking movie.
Yeah, and I mean, like, we look back at it, like, it doesn't hold up that well today. Like, when he was fighting himself, like, it looked like there was another actor playing, like, the...
Yeah, it was clear. Yeah. Even the scenes with them together was just so fake.
Yeah, that's it. So, like, you can tell... But for the further time, I think it was very well done. Yeah,
I agree.
Out of all the movies I watched, it had the hottest girl. Like, she was pretty damn hot, so that was always nice to see.
Yeah, she was nude in this. That's a bonus.
Is she hotter than the one in Universal Soldier?
Well, I didn't see that movie, so I couldn't say. Just a couple more quick notes. When the bad guy throws the barrel at him, instead of just, like, getting out of the way, he kicks it for no reason.
It's like, because he's Van Damme.
I know, but it's like, why not just move 2 feet to the side? So there's that. There's one scene where Van Damme had his back turned to one of the bad guys, and he was, like, 20 feet away with a machine gun, and he couldn't hit him. Like, Van Damme didn't even see him, and the guy has a machine gun, and he's just completely missing.
Sounds like Resident Evil shooting.
I don't know what you're talking about. But other than that, one more thing I'll mention is when Alex was picturing the sex scene between Chad and the woman, like, why was he like, it had, like, such an 80s porno feel to it. Like, yeah. It was like, what the hell? So that just, it just made no sense at all to me. Like you mentioned, the story was full of plot holes. Very little justification.
Just seems like they wrote it overnight in a hotel room.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. Like, you can tell they we got to connect this with this. It was just, let's throw it together and see what happens. So, if I had to rate it, I'd give it 6.5 exploding cognac cases on 10.
Awesome. All right, we're going to stop our first part here. We're going to continue with part two at a later date. So, for Kevbo Trek, Will, D-Ren, Carp, C-Money, I am Mr. Old School. Thank you very much for listening.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indie Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indie Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Knowledge. Breaking down the week's news and rumors. The Spanish Announce Table. TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Telephone. Bring. Telephone.
Hello. Test. Test, motherfucker. No, I don't hear myself. Good. Okay. Cool. Do that. Eight face wash kicks at it. All right. Let's throw this to Will. Let's get your thoughts on Kickboxer.
Did you know we've moved? Our new home at TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, bringing you new content like Fight Show Live and the Spanish Announce Table, and the same shows that you come to enjoy like Old School at the Movies, Trending Mobile Technology, and The Real News. Make sure you check us out every week, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Matt Damon!
Stop all the downloading!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, the Jean-Claude Van Damme Retrospective Part 2. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the Trending Topics Network. Check out some great shows like The Spanish Announce Table, The Real News, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get into the panel this week, for our Jean-Claude Van Damme Retrospective Part 2, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy, people. Send us an email, oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmovies.net. So let's introduce our panel for this week. We've got D-Ren.
Stocko.
We've got Kebo Trek.
Alonzi.
We've got Carp.
Ayo.
And we've got C-Money. Awesome. All right, so we ended off on Double Impact last time. Let's get into another stinker, another giant pile of excrement. This is Universal Soldier.
It was a top secret government project.
Pack them in ice, all of them.
Designed to create the perfect soldier.
No man would ever again have to die in the service of his country.
Cryogenically preserved.
Okay, guys, memory clearance.
Genetically enhanced.
I have a picture.
Pretty ugly.
Very funny.
Programmed to obey.
They're at the tower.
Okay, here we go.
Who are these guys?
30 hostages held inside the power station at the base of the structure.
I said shut up!
We're inside. Begin phase two.
This marks the third successful mission for the Universal Soldier.
But there was something they didn't count on.
He's not responding. GR-44, do you read me?
At the end of the mission, he became completely unresponsive.
Inside the machine is a man.
Do you really think the Pentagon would allow the regeneration of dead soldiers?
Stop the girl. Shoot if you have to.
And all it takes...
Veronica Roberts, CNA.
...is one memory...
You didn't do anything!
To awaken him.
Let's go! Hit it!
Traitor. Universal Soldier.
What the hell did they do to you?
Don't know. But I'm going to find out.
One can't be controlled.
Buckle up.
The other... cannot be stopped.
This mission has been canceled.
I'm giving the orders from now on.
I'm gonna teach them all.
Are we having fun yet?
The ultimate weapons of the future have declared war on each other.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, Dolph Lundgren.
Universal Soldier.
Stop. That is an order.
All right, so this was released in 1992, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme, Dolph Lundgren, Ali Walker, Edo Ross. Budget of $23 million, domestic box office of $36 million. My quick thoughts here. The music was absolutely terrible, in my opinion. The main theme, credits, just feels like they took some generic song and put it to the movie. The one good thing I liked about this movie is Dolph Lundgren. I thought he did a great job as the antagonist here, keeping up with Van Damme throughout a lot of the action scenes. Ali Walker was definitely a very annoying leading lady. Was not a fan of her in this role. The fact that Universal soldiers are complete cyborgs, they no-sell everything, and they have no emotion, and then it morphs into, like, they feel pain, they're having feelings, they're completely normal after an hour and a half. To me, that makes no sense. Soldiers look like, you know, if Terminator and Borg from Star Trek had a baby. Van Damme's very interesting in this. It's cool to see him in a role that, you know, he didn't dominate martial arts. He did martial arts, but it wasn't dominated in this movie. There's more gunfighting, so that was a bit interesting. Not enough action, way too much downtime. They're in, like, gas stations, hotels, and their parents' house. I found that was dragged on. To me, if I could sum up the movie in one sentence, it's Van Damme's attempt at replicating Terminator. And critics also called it a T2 clone as well. So I would give it 6 grenades out of 10. Let's start with C-Money on this one.
Yeah, so this movie, I actually liked it for the most part. I know, like what you said about there being a lot of downtime, it's true, but I think this one was less about, like you said, the martial arts aspect of it and more about the actual, well, for what story there was. The idea to me about, you know, dead soldiers being reanimated, I thought was actually pretty cool at the time. I thought it was a really unique idea, and the fact that I would probably disagree in the fact that they really start to have a lot of feelings and stuff. I think it's more just like they say in the movie where they're starting to remember their past life, which to me sounded like it was something that was feasible when you're reanimating someone, so to speak. It's the same thing that you see in zombie movies and stuff like that. They're always trying to reach to that other side that's still, you know, still with that person. So I actually liked the movie. I thought, like you said, Lundgren was amazing in the role. Van Damme didn't have to do a lot of talking because he was basically a robot. I think it kind of met his acting experience a little bit too.
Yeah.
But I thought for the most part, it was really well done. And I loved the scene with Dolph Lundgren in the grocery store. Just kind of the way how you know messed up he was. It shows how much Vietnam kind of messed with him, which I thought was really cool. So I'd give it maybe a 6.5 or 7 out of 10.
Carb, let's throw this one to you, man.
Yeah, I also disagree with you. I liked Universal Soldier 1. Universal
really?
Soldier 2, on the other hand, was a steaming pile of crap. Goldberg and Michael J. White just didn't work.
Yeah.
Dolph Lundgren was an awesome bad guy. There are down parts.
You mean Romeo.
Yeah.
Goldberg is Romeo.
Yeah, exactly. But generally, I like this film for the concept, I guess the reanimated soldier or attempt at bringing back Vietnam vet as an unstoppable killing machine I liked. So for me, this is a 7 ear necklace out of 10.
All right, D-Ren, let's throw this to you.
Sure. I disagree with you too, Keith.
What the fuck?
I mean, Mr. Old School.
Who's Keith? Yeah,
yeah, who's Keith? I thought the action sequences were very well done. Like, you know, first of all, that Hoover Dam sequence where they're rappelling down the dam was pretty awesome. And also the bus chase scene, just beautifully shot. I think it must have been shot in Nevada or Arizona. It was just gorgeous. And finally, that fight scene at the end with Dolph Lundgren, where he's on those muscle enhancers, it was a very enjoyable fight. And speaking of Dolph,
yeah, it was a good fight scene.
And speaking of Dolph Lundgren, just he's so charismatic as the villain. And yeah, I kind of agree with you. They kind of revert back to humans very quickly. I found that a little annoying. Just a couple other things. Again, I feel like this is like a poor man's Terminator. I think that's the best way to summarize it. And what was with the reporter? The reporters, they couldn't drive a car. They just, like, flip it over completely.
Like, a second in the running away, they flipped the car.
Yeah, and I just had a couple other, like, weird things. Like, why was there such poor security outside their command center? It's supposed to be this.
Like, a reporter just sneaks up. But honestly, I think that's the shortest car chase ever.
I know, for sure. And just another annoying thing too was the tracking devices. And like they were saying, oh, he's going from this room to this room, but why couldn't they see him? Did they remove it at that point? The tracking device where he's under the bed, or they? No, he didn't remove it yet. Like he was going through the walls, and they were like, oh, he's going to this room. He's in the next room, but when he's under the bed, they don't know where he is. That was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Overall, I give this not one of his best. It's not one of his worst. I give this. I have seven. severed ears on a string out of 10.
All right. Kebbo Trek, so let's end
exactly
with you.
Exactly what I said.
Yeah, I wrote that down, so I was like, how about seven bags of ice out of 10?
There you go. Kebbo Trek, let's end with you.
I'm also going to disagree with you, Mr. Old.
Everybody disagrees with me here.
No, I haven't seen it in a long time, so I can't really say.
All right. I don't think you're going to disagree with me on this one. This was most definitely a piece of shit. This is it's pretty funny part of it. We're talking about Street Fighter, of course. And this is his speech to his troops after he's told that they're supposed to just give up and go home instead of fighting Bison. So let's play this quickly.
You're joking. We think we can deal with General Bison. You're instructed to call off the assault, contact him, request an extension of his deadline. We are prepared to pay the ransom demand.
$20 billion? What will prevent him from taking more hostages next month and asking for $50 billion? $100 billion?
Colonel, have you lost your mind?
No. You've lost your balls.
Colonel Guile, deliver these instructions to your troops, and then consider yourself relieved of your command.
Troopers, I just received new orders. Our superiors say the war is canceled. We can all go home. Bison is getting paid off for his crimes, and our friends who have died here will have died for nothing. But we can all go home. Meanwhile, ideals like peace, freedom, and justice, they get packed up. But we can all go home. Well, I'm not going home. I'm gonna get on my boat, and I'm going upriver, and I'm going to kick that son of a bitch Bison's ass so hard that the next Bison wannabe is gonna feel it. Now, who wants to go home? And who wants to go with me?
Sign up for the United Nations now, thanks to Jean-Claude Van Damme. My thoughts on Street Fighter very quickly. It's a complete cheese fest. There's zero attempt to add any backstory to any of the characters. They just kind of announced them by name during the beginning of the movie. The attempt to write a story that could work in the real world, but having like Bison as a warlord in a country and the UN led by Guile to attempt to take him out. But I think it kind of falls flat on its face. You know, decent performances by Van Damme here. And Raul Julia, who plays Bison, is pretty good. But yeah, apart from that, this is a video game cheese fest. Parts like the video game controller bombing, the blank kind of Hulk ripoff, Ken and Ryu are arms dealers. Apart from Kali Minogue being in this movie, there's not very much good. I would give it 5. Bison, I don't know. I don't even know what to give it. I just give it 5. That's it. Kebbo Trek, let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, this is just 90s cheese. There really isn't much good you can say about the movie. You mentioned all the characters. It just felt like, okay, we're going to put every character from the video games into the movie, even if it makes no sense. So it was just like, let's see how many we can cram in. And like you said, there wasn't much backstory for the characters. Some of them just being there didn't make any sense. The movie, it was just cheesy. And I mean, to this day, we see them still having trouble adapting video games. And if I will say something,
Resident
do like...
Evil.
No. Why you gotta mention that? I will say that I like that they tried to do something different rather than, like, just having a tournament. Like, they at least...
Yeah, it's true.
They at least tried. Obviously, they completely failed at it, but they at least tried to do something different. But, I mean, it's a terrible story. I wasn't particularly fond of any of the acting. The only good thing I guess I can say is that Ming-Na looked hot as Chun-Li. But other than that, it's just... It's not...
Think about Kylie Minogue.
Oh, yeah, she looked good too as Cammy, but 90s cheese, coupled that with a video game movie back then. I mean, like, we had Mario, we had stuff like that, Double Dragon. I know it's a bit before, but they really had a lot of trouble making video game movies back then. And they still do today, to be fair. So it's a trend that's continued for 15, 20 years.
Resident Evil.
No, but no, that's you know, Oscar winning films, so you can't say anything bad there. But if I have to give it a rating on 10, I'd give it 4 Hadoukens on 10.
4 Hadoukens. Why didn't I think of Hadouken? This movie actually made $100 million, though. It's pretty surprising, actually, if you think about it. With a budget of 35, it made money. So that's good. D-Ren, let's throw this to you now. Let's get your thoughts on Street Fighter.
Oh, that's all I can say. No.
All right, Carb, let's get on.
Yeah, this was like one of, even, I'm just trying to think of any movie, and this was like one of the worst movies for the one-liners. I was just cringing at some of them. And this is the fourth movie in our retrospectives that we talk about where he disobeys the chain of command. It's some sort of Van Damme fetish. Yeah, just a lot of ridiculousness. The joystick, I don't know why they implemented the Street Fighter joystick in the game just for promotional. I did think a couple positives, they're not too many. I thought Raul Julia's performance was really good, like over the top and charismatic. He plays a real psychopath. I love the part where he has his own money. So that was pretty cool. The other positive thing I can mention is I did like the last, not the fight scene, but when they were storming the temple with the gun battles, I thought that was really well done. So I have to applaud them for that. But just, yeah, it kind of suffers from the, I would call it the man with iron fist syndrome, and the fact that they didn't have, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme was the star, but he wasn't showcased. It was kind of like a three showcase between Chun-Li and her group, the Ken and Ryu, and then Jean-Claude Van Damme. So there's no lead story. So it kind of suffered from like Man with Iron Fist type thing. And it wasn't a lot of fun for me. And it was just a lot of like plot holes. Like, why would Balrog put on his gloves after, just for, I guess, promotional purposes? I mean, you do more damage.
Yeah, the whole thing's like.
Or when they were trying to assassinate Jean-Claude Van Damme, the guy was a waiter. Why didn't he just go behind him and stab him? Instead, I'll just go to the other end of the table, jump on a table and yell. So that stuff like that. And also like Chun-Li, when she was trying to blow up General Bison, why did she record a YouTube video type thing and like say, I'm going to destroy you. And then, oh, we have time to escape before the bus comes in. So I thought that was ridiculous. So I'm going to give this 1.5 Tiger Knees out of 10.
All right, Cart, let's throw this to you.
This movie is complete and utter crap. Guile is like as American character as it can be. And he's not even the main focus of a Street Fighter story. If anything, it should have been about Ryu and Ken and not, you know, Colonel Guile going after Bison. The only saving grace in this film was this was one of Raul Julia's last performances. And he did do a good job as Bison. For me, it's 2 flash kicks out of 10.
One thing, you know, I'm not a Street Fighter expert, so maybe you guys can correct me if I'm wrong here. But wasn't Guile more about like, oh, just pack up and go home and don't fight the good fight? And in this movie, it's the complete opposite.
No, well, okay, because here, basically from Wikipedia, Guile first appears in Street Fighter 2 as one of the 8 selectable characters. Blah, blah, blah. Guile leaves his country and family to enter the World Warrior Tournament to avenge the death of his friend Charlie, who was killed by Bison, the tournament sponsor, sometime before the event of this game. So
Charlie was in the movie, though. He was the guy who turned to Blanka.
Yeah, which is stupid, because then they turned 2 characters into 1, and Blanka looked terrible. I mean, this movie was
Blanka was horrible,
so bad. Dalsim was a doctor, and oh my god, it was so, like, as a Street Fighter fan from when this came out, I was so angry. Like, if I could have reached in and strangled the director, I would have been happy. It was so
all
bad.
Right. Yeah, C-Money, let's end this on you, man.
So, actually, funny kind of story about this one. When I was 13, I was going to go see this with Barry, and for whatever reason, at LaSalle Theater, they actually had a 14 and up rule, which they didn't let us in to see the movie, but they let us go in to see Anaconda with Ice Cube and Jennifer Lopez. Wow. So I've never actually seen Street Fighter, but I have seen.
You didn't miss much.
Yeah, well, that's it. So like, then I heard the reviews and everything, so it didn't really be a big, you know, issue whatsoever that I missed it. I have seen, you know, snippets here and there, but stuff like, I remember seeing the flash kick. And I thought to myself, that was the slowest, most wired-supported flash kick I've ever seen. Like, just you couldn't just spin the guy in a circle. It actually looks like he kind of stops midway and then continues his kick. This looks terrible in the movie, so kind of glad I didn't see it. I'd give this, because I didn't get to see it, 1 Bison head stop, 10.
Oh, Mr. Old School, I just have a question for the panel. Did anyone feel cheated with the Ryu and Vega? With like they had this buildup of them fighting and walking to the ring and like doing.
Yeah, and then they just, don't like, fight. No.
Did anyone feel?
Yeah, that was stupid. They did fight at the end, but still, it was like, why do you do all that and then fucking like tease it?
Five minutes of that, anyway.
All right, so we had a big run of cheese there. Well, some people disagreed with me on the other ones, but this one, I don't think you would disagree with me. It's a very different kind of movie. It's a JCVD. And this one, you know, it kind of breaks the fourth wall and does a bunch of stuff. So we don't really have a trailer that we can play because a lot of it's in French. But, you know, for the American audience, it's subtitled. So I'll just give my quick thoughts. You know, the opening credits, there's a boy that picks up a flower. It's like an animation. There's a boy that picks up a flower, and then you see like a shadow of JCBD walking in, who roundhouse kicks the boy and then boots the flower up, and like that turns into the company logo. I thought that was kind of cool. You know, it's a mix of events of real look at his life. It's obviously a story, so it's not like a biopic or nothing, but you know, he talks about his life in it. And the main idea, if you haven't seen it, is that there's like a bank robbery, and you know, he's implicated, he's kind of walks into it, and the main idea is like, oh, he's an action star, he should be able to save everybody, when in real life it doesn't work like that. You can't just go and give, you know, spinning kicks to everybody and save the day. So, but you know, at the same time, they talk about, you know, like his career abusing drugs and his movie career and just like inside stuff to the movie industry, which is kind of cool, where he's talking with his like agent trying to get parts in films. There's like a 6-minute monologue of him just talking, breaking the fourth wall, which is really cool. It's a very different movie. You know, if you've seen Van Damme stuff, it's nothing like it. You know, even critics said that he had the second best performance of the year behind Heath Ledger. I wouldn't necessarily agree with that, but he did very much bring his acting chops up a notch with this movie. Let's start with Keb Trek on this.
Yeah, I was when I saw this in the theater back when it came out, I was surprised how much I liked it. It's just, it's an interesting concept. It's one of the first movies to really break that fourth wall. So it was good to see that. I maybe enjoyed it for a slightly different reason than you did. Like, I had fun with the movie. There was the scene when he, I think it was it from Hard Target? I think it was from Hard Target where he
kicks the cigarette.
Like he kicks the cigarette out of one of the guy's mouth, and then one of the other guys wants to try it, and like you knew what was gonna happen, but like I was laughing beforehand. Like it was just so funny to me. He had that dialogue. It's what, probably like 3-minute dialogue. I know you really enjoyed the acting. I enjoyed it because I found it funny.
You laughed. Yeah. He was getting emotional and you start laughing. It's like, what the fuck?
So maybe I wasn't enjoying it for the right way, but, you know, I did enjoy it. I think this is probably the best movie he's made, not counting maybe the Expendables, because he's more, you know, a piece of that rather than the main star. But I think this probably was the best movie he made in the last 15 years or so. So if I had to rate it, I would give it 8.5. Cigarette roundhouses to the face.
All right, D-Ren, let's throw this to you now. Let's get your thoughts.
Okay, I might have a different opinion. I love the kind of the beginning of the movie where he was running through a war battle scenes and like taking out. It was obviously a set because like at one point you see him throw a roundhouse kick and it missed him by like 2 feet, but it was done on purpose because just to show that it was a set. So I love that opening. Yeah, it was. It did a good job of parodying JCVD. I mean, there's some fiction elements to the thing, like with the robbery and everything. And, you know, I don't know if he has these big money problems or child custody battles. But, yeah, the cigarette bit was really funny. I was just cracking up at it. Also, the part two with when he was in the child custody hearings, I mean, when they were talking about, like, his movies in court, and, like, they were, like, saying, you know, strangulation.
The ways he does, and they keep
running
going
over a guy. And then he's, like, he's trying to defend him. These movies have heart. I thought that was really funny. Yeah,
there were a lot of funny parts in there.
And, you know, it's just part of the movie was, like, just, like, you kind of felt sad. Like when the taxi driver said to him he's better on screen than in person, I was like, wow.
And even that was a funny role where she was going off.
Oh, yeah. Or the guy's talking about – I watched it without subtitles, so it might have been difficult. The guy's talking about like how he's not like a great star, and then they want to take a picture with him. I thought that was pretty poignant. But that monologue, I loved it. And I agree with you, Mr. Old School. That was a really emotional scene, and I thought it was best acting performance by far. I just watched it, but then I just read the translation of what he was talking about. I thought it was really cool. with the different point of view and the way the pacing went with the movie, I thought the acting was amazing, but just the story, it was kind of like, I want to say staccato, but you know, it's the piano term, like very choppy, and it didn't flow for me. So I'm going to give this 5, breaking down the fourth wall, out of 10.
All right, Carl, let's throw this one to you.
Yeah, I really liked it. The opening one shot was actually like a comment, because apparently he's never able to really do anything in one shot. So that was a take on that, where it was just the one long shot of the action scene. The 6 or 8 minute dialogue was phenomenal. That's the best acting I've ever seen from JCVD. You know, it was emotional in parts. It felt more real than his action flicks. So I really liked it for what it was. Apparently that taxi scene was completely improvised as well.
Yeah, I think about 30% of the movie was improvised from what I read.
I was really impressed. Even his monologue, apparently pretty much nobody was on set but him and the cameraman. So that's impressive. For me, it's a 8 heart-wrenching monologues out of 10.
All right, let's end this with C-Money. Let's get your thoughts on JCVD.
Yeah, so what I remember about this movie that I liked was that, you know, I don't recall this movie being heavily hyped beforehand, before release, but it got a lot of kudos after the fact, whereas a lot of his movies are so overly hyped and everyone kind of craps on them later on for his bad acting ability. And what I liked with this one is it really just spoke to his entire career, kind of the transition he had to go through. Obviously, some of it's comical, but like the part I think I remember him talking about how even in the movie he's talking about how Steven Seagal takes a role from him.
So because he cuts his ponytail or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like it's comical, but at the same time, you know, I'm sure that kind of stuff happened back then with all those guys. You know, Schwarzenegger and all those guys are battling each other for those big roles. So it kind of shows him being a little bit outcast from the rest of that group. He was obviously a main star, but he wasn't the biggest star. And so it was well done. The monologue, like everyone says, I thought that was some of the most phenomenal true acting I've ever seen from someone like him. And I remember the first time I had actually watched it, I remember pausing and rewinding just to see that part right away again. I didn't even finish the movie straight and then go back. So I just thought it was so well done. And I'm sure there was a lot of truth. Like, he felt really passionate about that scene in particular. So overall, I'd give this a solid 8 out of 10 classic RVD roundhouse kicks.
All right, let's go to honorable mentions now. There's probably a lot of movies we haven't mentioned, so let's just blurt it out, some movies and quick thoughts of stuff we haven't covered. Hard Target.
You definitely got to mention that. I think it's
Hard Target's one. Cyborg, to me.
Yeah,
is,
definitely.
That's a quintessential JCVD movie. The bad guy is fucking amazing in it. I love the post-apocalyptic part of it. It's just, like, you got to see Cyborg if you like Van Damme.
Sudden Death.
How about Nowhere to Run?
It was okay at best, Nowhere to Run.
Time Cop.
Time Cop, yeah. Time Cop was classic.
It was, again, I think it was one of those movies where they didn't really think about the plot. It's like, okay, we have a cool story. Let's go with this. And even though it makes no sense, whatever, we'll go with it because we have a cool story.
Anything else?
What was the clone movie one where he was just getting beaten the entire movie by the creator?
Isn't that called, like, Legionnaire or something?
No. It was one. I remember this old school, you specifically mentioned this to me about how he was like a clone, a replicant, a replica, or something. I think that was the name of it.
Yeah, it's Replicant.
Replicant. And he's like, you were telling me this scene where he basically doesn't do what his creator kind of wanted him to do, and he's just getting it, like, literally getting his ass kicked by his creator over and over again. It's just like one of the most ridiculous movies.
We're forgetting the best one, Double Team.
God.
I still remember the scene. I still remember the scene.
Kick the tiger. I mean,
and I still remember the scene where they're falling out of a plane, and Dennis Rodman activates like a parachute, but it's a basketball that encloses both of them.
It's ridiculous.
I guess are we going to be mentioning the Expendables or?
Yeah, well, I figured quick honorable mention because you know we did cover it in depth.
Yeah, so. And I guess it's more of.
A part role.
Yeah, no, he's not starring in it, so
he's like below supporting on that, I find.
But
you did a great job.
He's a great bad guy in it, though.
Yeah, like, and you can tell he had
kicking
fun.
The knife into Hemsworth's chest was fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And you can tell he had a lot of fun while filming it, which I think all the people in the Expendables do, so.
Yeah.
I'm surprised C-Money hasn't mentioned Van Damme as Master Croc in Kung Fu Panda 2?
He's legendary in that. Best voice acting ever. He's in it for like 2 seconds.
Yeah. It's one of his highest rated films, by the way.
What about the Mortal Kombat ripoff, The Quest?
The fights were good in The Quest. Everything else about The Quest was completely terrible.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anything else, guys?
I think we covered pretty much most of his notable movies.
I've heard good things about the straight-to-video Universal Soldiers, so I'm probably going to give them a shot at some point.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's like him. In the last one, Universal Soldier Day of Reckoning, it's him. Ludren's back. They have this MMA fighter, Andre Arlovsky, and Scott Adkins, who's a phenomenal martial artist. He's in it, too.
Let's talk quickly about this bitter rivalry everybody knows about. It's Van Damme against Seagal. You know, they come from two different martial art backgrounds, but, you know, at the time they were pretty much two of the biggest stars. I have a quick clip that we're going to play that rates the two. And then once we get back, I want to get your thoughts on the two, maybe stuff that wasn't covered in the clip. Also, which one would you rate higher? Let's play the clip and get your thoughts.
It's the master versus the muscles from Brussels. Welcome to WatchMojo.com, and today we'll be pitting Steven Seagal against Jean-Claude Van Damme to see who is the greater action star.
They call me Nok So Khao, the White Warrior.
Round 1, Legacy. In the first corner, sporting a totally not gay ponytail, is Steven Seagal. He has given us such romps as Under Siege, Marked for Death, Above the Law, Out for Justice, and Hard to Kill.
It's still not fair, that's right. Okay, how about this? I'll get down on my knees.
He is famous for frequently playing a cop, as well as rarely raising his voice.
Come get some.
In the other corner is Jean-Claude Van Damme. He has appeared in such popular films as Bloodsport, Hard Target, Kickboxer, Double Impact, Universal Soldier, and Time Cop. He has also played cops, but made it big playing underdogs in brutal fighting tournaments. Over the years, Van Damme has helped pull in over $1 billion at the box office, almost doubling that of Seagal.
What do you think about that?
They have about the same amount of good and horrible movies under their belts, and while we'd gladly love to award a tie going in, Van Damme slightly edges out his opponent for having been a more bankable actor and having a cooler name. Winner, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Okay.
Round 2, Combat. Steven Seagal has a 7th dan in Aikido. Jean-Claude Van Damme is proficient in Shokotan Karate, Muay Thai, Kickboxing, and Taekwondo. When it comes to the fight, Steven Seagal has no issues playing dirty. He'll wrap a pool ball in a cloth and use it to knock your teeth out.
You knocked my teeth out!
Strike you with a broken pool cue, or just plain punch you in the junk. He is all about trauma, neutralizing his opponent and turning their physical strength into a weakness. Meanwhile, Van Damme is focused on the kicks and likes to randomly drop into the splits during a heated exchange. Unfortunately, his superior strength would be used against him by Seagal. When the dust clears, Seagal is still standing.
Do you guys agree with that? You think Seagal and Van Damme, if they fought, that he would take Van Damme out?
Yeah. The Aikido that Seagal knows, unless he catches him with a spinning roundhouse, he even goes close to Seagal. Seagal's going to break his legs and arms.
And we're not talking about like 2000 Seagal where he gained all the weight. We're talking about both in their prime.
In their prime, yeah, it's Seagal. To me.
Yeah. Kebo Chuck, who do you think would win?
Yeah, it would definitely be Seagal.
C-Money, you agree?
Yeah, probably one-on-one fight. I think sadly Seagal would win. I just think he's a bigger prick.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get with the rest of the clip.
Winner, Steven Seagal. Round 3, physique and agility. A hulking man of 6'4", Seagal has unfortunately become known in recent years for his ever-increasing circumference.
I don't think he can drop us off, badass.
You're right, but I'll get an A for effort.
Forgetting this and focusing on the earlier years, we can see that both actors make heavy use of stunt doubles. However, look at the way Seagal runs. Maybe some more stunt double action wouldn't have been such a bad thing.
Oh. Yeah, he's got like this chicken run. I don't know. What's with that?
Overall, Van Damme is slightly more agile and capable of incredible physical movements, including his trademark 360-degree spin kick. After all, he did study ballet.
Because of my big legs and karate, I can do the splits no problem.
Unfortunately, Seagal simply can't keep up, as he depends almost entirely on his arms and face to do the talking.
I said turn him loose.
Van Damme gets the point because he can do this. Tell me that doesn't hurt to watch. Winner, Van Damme. So good today. Number 4, screen persona. Both of these actors are less than impressive when scenes require real acting.
You want some blow?
Yeah, I want some blow. Put your hands where I can see them, or I'm going to blow your head off.
However, Seagal fills the void with his hardcore ego and his own brand of charisma. This includes quite a bit of trash-talking through a quiet yet husky voice.
He told Richie to get a lawyer. Have him turn himself in. If not, I'm going to kill him.
This led to him being hailed as the most gritty and realistic action star during his heyday. On the other hand, Van Damme comes off as a bit too polished and well-groomed, despite having the mandatory foreign accent that the genre requires.
I mean, I figured you gotta be French or something because of your accent.
What accent?
Winner, Steven Seagal.
How's the action, boys? Mind if I play?
Round 5, later career and comeback. These two men were both once very bankable actors. Now, they're either added attractions or headed direct to home video. Seagal has adjusted to a calmer and more Buddhist lifestyle while teaching martial arts and working as a deputy sheriff in Louisiana. When cast, he takes smaller parts, like playing the samurai sword-wielding villain in Machete. Meanwhile, Van Damme failed to enter the world of fashion with a line of denim clothing.
My pants froze. And froze hard. So tight.
However, he has starred in the well-received self-titled JCVD, several Universal Soldier sequels, provided the voice of Master Croc in Kung Fu Panda 2, and played the bad guy in The Expendables 2. Seagal may have a more interesting personal life, but Van Damme edges him out for staying slightly more relevant on cinema. Maybe we're being overly optimistic, but we sense a career comeback as Van Damme appears able to still perform those awesome spin kicks. Winner, Van Damme.
Any other new business?
Verdict. Sorry, Steven Seagal fans. While the star wins in combat and screen persona, he's left wincing in respect of Jean-Claude Van Damme, who claimed the victory 3-2.
I'm gonna take you to the bank, Senator Trent. To the blood bank.
Alright, let's start with C-Money on this. Who would you give it to if you'd be able to rate the two? Do you prefer Seagal? You prefer Van Damme? Let's get your thoughts quick.
I definitely have to go across the board with Van Damme. Seagal definitely had some of his great movies. I think Mark for Death was one of my favorite movies of his. But as a whole, I just always found him very fake. He came off as being a lot more tough than he thinks he is. He's got a huge ego. And I like his knife work that he does in some of the movies, but then it seems to be his only thing. I guess you can make the same argument for The Roundhouse with Van Damme, but I just think Van Damme is a more versatile actor, more likable as a person. You know, just in from what I've seen on TV and stuff, and like they were talking about comeback quality, Van Damme definitely takes that without question.
Hey, Carp, speaking about the two here, which one would you prefer, Van Damme or Seagal?
Yeah, I'm more of a JCVD fan in the end, but Seagal does have a much higher kill count movie-wise. He's almost 200 more kills for his movies. Seagal, like, I like them separately for their own individual things, but I more so gravitate towards JCVD's action flicks than I do Seagal's. But I mean, I'll give Seagal some, like Marked for Death, Hard to Kill, Out for Justice, The First Under Siege. Those are awesome flicks. So each guy's had their top five. And hell, if you ever have a chance, give them both a shot.
Kembo Trek, let's get your thoughts on the two. Which one do you prefer?
Yeah, I'm pretty much with like the rest of the guys. I definitely prefer Jean-Claude Van Damme more. I was looking at the Steven Seagal's movies on IMDb, and there's only few I can really remember, like the Under Siege movies, Hard to Kill, stuff like that. Where Van Damme, like, I find his movies are much more known, and I guess I just enjoy them more. So I definitely go Van Damme.
You think we'll ever see the two together in a movie? You think they'll ever say, just let bygones be bygones, and just for the box office actually do a movie?
No, I Van Damme, I think, would. Because from what I was reading for the feud, it's more one way. Like, it's more Seagal that hates Van Damme, not Van Damme that hates Seagal. So I think it's going to be kind of like the Guns N' Roses situation, where it's one of them that's preventing the two from coming together in a movie.
Seagal just seems like that. I think C-Money said it bad. Just a prick. And he's one of those guys. He won't let bygones be bygones. Just be a stubborn bastard and won't do it. All right. So anything else? Any other business we didn't talk about? But we talked about, my goodness, we had a good 2 hours on Van Damme here. So I guess we'll get our closing thoughts. Just throw it to anybody.
Yeah, like I said in the first part of the podcast we did, with Stallone and Schwarzenegger, he was part of that quintessential action core star. And what I noticed was he kind of fell off before they did. Like, whereas Schwarzenegger and Stallone were kind of able to keep things going a bit longer. By the late 90s, he had really fell off. I was looking at his IMDb, and he really hasn't had a hit in probably about 15 years. Like, you look between 1988 and 1993, you know, he made Bloodsport, Cyborg, Kickboxer, Lionheart, Double Impact, Universal Soldier, Nowhere to Run, and Hard Target. And you look after that, there's really not that many success stories, so I think he falls into the category of being an actor that, like Stallone said, you know, Batman killed the action star, and I think he was one of the first casualties.
Carp, would you agree with that? Would you agree that he was one of the first casualties, and of the three big action stars, he's pretty much the least bankable?
Yeah, look at the numbers that Schwarzenegger and Stallone have put up over the years, and like they're starting their comeback now where JCVD is more or less straight to video. So, yeah, he was one of the first. Seagal was pretty much, like, there's your A-class guys, like Stallone, Schwarzenegger, and then there's your B-class guys, like Stallone and Seagal. And those two fell off well before Stallone and Schwarzenegger. But still, like, you know, with all his drug problems and his divorce and all that other stuff, it's, like, as much as everybody wants to get into Hollywood, it's not for everyone. And I don't think it was really for him for a bit. Like, all this bad shit happened to him.
We're going to end this one with C-Money. Do you think, you know, JCVD can make a comeback? Do you think he's more going to be in the supporting roles? Is he done as an actor? Let's get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, sadly, he's one of those guys who I think got, you know, due to circumstances in his life and due to the fact that there were so many new stars coming out and even the existing ones were more well-known than him. I think he was one of the early casualties. I think he's made a little bit of a comeback as of recent, and as a personal fan, I'd like to see him at least be able to push out, you know, another two or three movies without having to do all the excessive roundhouse kicks, just actually focus in on his whatever acting he's learned over the years. I know one of the reasons, and this is going to sound really weird for those who don't know this, but one of the reasons why he kind of got out of movies was because he actually became a clothes designer. He was into, like, fashion big time, and he actually invested a lot of time and money into creating his own clothing line. So I don't know how much that actually attributed as well to him kind of walking away from the movie scene, but just one of those guys I would like to see him push out at least another two or three decent movies, even with the old crew for that matter, the way Stallone and Schwarzenegger are doing it now, just to kind of cap off his career on a good note rather than going out on some potential cheese that he might have thrown out last.
So for C-Money, Carp, Kebo, Trek, D-Ren, thank you very much for listening to the JCVD Part 2. See you next time.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indie Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indie Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Knowledge. Breaking down the week's news and rumors. Spanish announce table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
You ready, brother?
I'm ready, brother.
Brother.
To this day, we see them still having trouble adapting video games. And if I will say something, why are you going to mention that? Video game movies back then. And they still do today, to be fair. So it's a trend that's continued for 15, 20 years.
Resident Evil.
No, but no, that's...
Be right back. Two seconds.
Do.
He's going to pay the rent with his mallet.
That sucks. There's like, what, 1 minute left in the podcast?
Yeah, we got to do our plugs, and he's like, I got to go. Yeah, like you said, he's paying the
rent. Part of this is probably recording right now, so he's going to come back and listen to everything we said.
Yeah, pretty much.
About him blowing dudes.
Oh my God,
so much penis in his mouth.
Whenever he like goes away, it's always about how he's blowing dudes.